Please turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're looking at just three verses this morning. We've been working our way through John, particularly John 13 through 17 right now. And this morning we come to John 14, verses 12 through 14. Before we read that, let's pray together. Our Father, we do marvel at your amazing love. We pray that you would grow us in our understanding of your amazing love, that you would remind us of it daily, that you would allow it to sink deep into our hearts, that the love of Christ would control us, that we would live in a way that brings glory to you as we delight in you and serve you with all that we are and all that we have. We pray right now that you would meet with us by your Spirit, that you would open our hearts and minds and eyes and ears to see Jesus more clearly, to hear his word, that you would be honored and glorified in and through us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, 12 to 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, says Jesus, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I think some of us have this understanding of Christianity that says the really exciting part ended when Jesus ascended into heaven. In fact, the first disciples seemed to think the same thing. When Jesus ascended, they just stood there staring up at the clouds. Or maybe we think it ended with the apostles, but either way, it ended a long time ago. Others want to continue that excitement. They say, they sometimes use our text this morning to say this. Jesus said we would do greater works. That means, they conclude, our ministries should look just like Jesus' ministry, miraculously healing the sick, miraculously feeding the hungry, miraculously raising people from the dead. And the argument goes like this. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. And so not only should you be doing the very things Jesus did, you should be doing greater things. It's right there in the text. And so you have one set of Christians who acts as if the only exciting part of Christianity happened 2,000 years in the past and will happen at some undisclosed time in the future. And you have another segment of the church who believes that the whole intervening time from beginning to end should be one of nonstop miracles, and the more the better. Some would go so far as to say that if the church is not doing miracles, the church is at best failing at Jesus' mission here and now. And so what do you think? Are we relegated to boredom until Jesus returns, or are we failing at Jesus' mission in the meantime? All right, I know that's a loaded question. It's also a false dichotomy. Now, you may have heard me say this before. I love passages that I don't initially understand. I don't know about you, but when I love it when I come to a text and I'm not really sure what it's going to say. That's exciting because it means I am about to learn something. And I hope you feel a little of that excitement right now as you come to this text and you think, Jesus says we're to do greater things. What in the world does Jesus mean? And let me say this from the start, we should be doing the greater works that Jesus talks about here. We are not in a long, dull slump until Jesus returns. Now, the question that Jesus was answering here was not quite, Jesus, are we going to keep doing miracles after you're gone? Though it was similar. It was this, Jesus, you keep saying that you are going. Are you leaving us alone? Is all this coming to an end? Is your whole thing over? Is this it? Are we done? And Jesus' answer was no. I have greater things in store for you. And so we're going to ask this morning just five things about these greater works. When will they be done? Who does them? What are they? How are they done and why? What are these greater works that Jesus is talking about here? And we can really answer all of those questions in one somewhat long sentence like this. Right now, Jesus is at work through his church to bring the new creation through the prayers of his people and to the glory of his Father. Right now, Jesus is at work through his church to bring new creation through the prayers of his people and to the glory of his Father. That's the when, the who, the what, the how, and the why in one sentence. But let's break that down and look at it one piece at a time. First, when, the greater works, when will they be done? I start here because this is actually the whole crux of the matter. You will notice in our three verses, there are not a whole lot of explicit time indicators, but four times you have this future verb, will do. So whatever Jesus is talking about here, whatever it is that is going to be done, it is future from Jesus' standpoint here in John 14. But the phrase I want to highlight at this point is actually at the tail end of verse 12. Jesus says, because I am going to the Father. Greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Jesus has been talking about this really throughout John's gospel. He came from the Father and is going back to the Father. And the only difference now is, and once John 13 comes, Jesus knows that his time has come. Jesus knows that he is going back to the Father soon. He is even now preparing his disciples for that day. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus will complete the work the Father gave him to do, and then he will ascend back up to the Father. That happened 40 days after Jesus' resurrection and about a week before Pentecost. And this is not merely a time indicator, but the completion of Jesus' work and his return to the Father is what will enable the greater works that Jesus is talking about here. In John 13 through 17, that section is looking forward to Jesus' return to his Father. And it's a theme we'll keep coming back to, this return. And the only thing I want to emphasize right here, right now, at this point, is Jesus' return to his Father is actually somehow what enables the greater works. So greater works. The first question is, when will they be done? And the answer is after Jesus goes to the Father, which was future from the perspective of Jesus in this passage, but of course is past from our perspective today. In fact, it was about 2,000 years ago. And so when will they be done? The answer is right now, since Jesus has gone back to the Father. Well, who does them? Second question. This question would seem to be straightforward, but it has some nuance to it. You see, too often in the Christian life, we kind of veer back and forth between self-reliance and passivity. We either think God has commanded, so I just need to roll up my sleeves and get to work, right? We have a kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality of Christianity. Or we think, I have no power to do good. Jesus will say shortly in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. We know God is in control of all things anyway, and so we just sit back and let God work. We have the kind of let go and let God mentality of Christianity. The problem is, neither are biblical ways of looking at things. Notice first in verse 12, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Christ calls us to do something. Paul exhorts us in Philippians 2:12 to work out our salvation. The frequent commands and exhortations of Scripture show us that we have a role in the Christian life. We are called to act. Greater works than these will he do. Who does these greater works? Verse 12 says, whoever believes in Jesus will do these greater works. But our passage doesn't end there, and I think it's important to see that the topic does not change between verses 12 and 13. Jesus is not moving from one topic, greater works, to another topic, prayer. He's still on point. And so we read 12 and 13 together. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I would propose to you, right, that the greater works that the believer does and the answered prayer that Jesus does, they're the same thing. Whatever those greater works are the works of the risen and ascended Jesus through those who believe in him. In just two verses, verse 16, which we'll look at sometime in the future, Jesus will promise to ask the Father to send the Spirit. Jesus is going to the Father, and then he will come back to his disciples, not bodily, but in the person of the Holy Spirit. And by his Spirit working through the believer, Jesus will accomplish these greater works. You see, Jesus is not saying, I'm going to the Father, so now it's your turn, right? Everything's up to you from now on. I'm leaving. It's time for you to take over. Sometimes we think of it that way, as if when Jesus ascended to the Father, he passed off the ball to us, and now he's sitting on the bench, and we have to run to the end zone. No, Jesus ascended to the Father not to leave us on our own, but so that he could come back and live in us by his Spirit. Greater works than these will you do, because I am going to the Father. So who does the greater works? Well, the believer, verse 12, whoever believes in me, and Christ at work in the believer. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, because I am going to the Father. This, again, is consistent with what Paul says in Philippians 2. You remember that passage? He begins, as we just said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Right? Whenever we kind of absolutize an either or in this area of the Christian life, either God is at work or I am at work, either I sit back and am passive or I pull myself up by the bootstraps, whenever we absolutize the either or, we either end up in self-reliance or passivity, and it will tend to either self-righteousness or just giving up. So the greater works, when will they be done? Right now. Who does them? Jesus is at work in and through his church. So fine, you might be thinking, okay, but what are they? What are we talking about here? What are the greater works that Jesus is saying are going to be done by him through his people? And I think the most common answer today, that is when people have an answer, if they've thought about this passage, people say it's miracles. Maybe you've heard that before, and it actually makes sense, right? Jesus said in verse 11, believe on account of the works that the Father does through him. And Jesus repeatedly says in John that the works he does bear witness to who he is. And those works that Jesus has been doing through the Gospel of John at least include Jesus' miracles. Jesus says in John 7, he did one work and everyone marveled. What was that one work that Jesus is talking about? His healing of the lame man back in John 5. Jesus says in John 9, the man born blind was born blind, not as a punishment, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And the works there at least means Jesus giving sight to the blind. And so when Jesus talks of his works here, we most definitely should at least include his miracles. So when Jesus says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, it seems at least plausible that Jesus is saying future believers will continue to work miracles just like Jesus and do even greater miracles than Jesus did. It seems plausible, but we need to ask a few more questions. Because if greater works means greater miracles, what does that mean? I mean, how can the church do greater miracles than the miracles of Jesus? What is greater than the healing of the man born blind, or walking on water, or the feeding of the 5,000, or the raising of Lazarus from the dead? What kind of miracle would be greater than getting a dead man out of the grave? Now, some say, well, it just means that the church will do simply more of the same, right? More, because more people will be doing miracles. More, because people will go to more places. And so even if the greater works are not more spectacular, maybe they will be more in number. Maybe that's what Jesus is saying here. The problem is, Jesus doesn't say more. He doesn't say more miracles, more healings, more raising of the dead. He says greater works than these. What could be greater than miracles? And that is the question we have to answer. It's a question that is actually central to the Gospel of John and central to the work of Jesus. You see, here's the thing. We've been looking at John for some time. We've seen him perform sign after sign after sign, miracle after miracle. And miracles themselves have always pointed to something greater. The miracles in the Gospels and Acts, they were never an end in themselves. Guess what happened to the man born blind? He received his sight from Jesus, and then one day he died. And his eyes stopped working again. Guess what happened to the 5,000 whom Jesus fed with a few loaves of bread? They were hungry the next day. Guess what happened to Lazarus? The Jewish leaders plotted to kill him. We don't know whether they succeeded or not. And while it is normally bad to assume, in this case, I think it's a fair assumption that one day Lazarus died again. He is not still walking the earth. Miracles have always pointed to something greater. Miracles are never, in the scriptures, an end in themselves, because miracles fall short of the life that Jesus came to bring. And so what is the greater thing that miracles point to? Miracles point to the restoration of creation, the renewal of all things. Miracles point to the new creation, which is inaugurated with the resurrection of Jesus. Miracles were a foreshadow, a foretaste, an appetizer, a preview of the new creation which is to come. But when Jesus rose from the dead, that new creation came. Right now, there is a body that was restored to wholeness, that came back from the dead, that remains in perfect condition, that lives and breathes as it sits at the right hand of the Father. That is the resurrection body of Jesus. To think that the church will somehow do greater miracles misses the point. Greater works doesn't mean greater miracles. It means something greater than miracles. And now I realize this is counterintuitive because, like the people in Jesus' day, we are enamored with the spectacle. We like the spectacular. We like the show. And so when I say to you what is greater than miracles in a second, I want you to take a breath and just think about it. And remember that the kingdom comes as a mustard seed, and that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, and that God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the strong and the foolish to shame the wise. What is greater than miracles? Miracles pointed ahead to the new creation, the restoration of all things in Christ. The church was actually brought into that new creation by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus in John's gospel will soon promise. The Spirit unites us to the risen Christ so that Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The greater works of the church are not miracles which point to the new creation, but the ministry of the people of God, which is used by God to bring the new creation. Every time someone hears the gospel and is born again, that is the greatest miracle and greater than all miracles. It is the new creation breaking into the present age. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Lazarus rose and died again. But Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Something greater than miracles is here. When each one of us uses our gifts, the gifts that the Spirit has given, we manifest the power of the new creation. And when God uses that to save and to sanctify, we see new creation breaking into the present age. Now, we should make a qualification, and this qualification doesn't get rid of everything I just said. But I need to say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that God can't do miracles today. I'm not saying that God never does miracles today. For one, remember who Jesus is speaking to. Jesus is speaking to the 12 apostles. They would, in fact, go on to do miracles. Paul calls those miracles the true signs, or the signs of a true apostle in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Apostolic miracles validated the apostolic eyewitness testimony to Jesus' resurrection. But we are not apostles or eyewitnesses to the resurrection. And yet, again, that doesn't mean that God cannot or does not do miracles even today. James tells us to pray for someone who is sick. What are we praying for when we pray for someone who is sick? That they would know God's grace in the midst of their trial? Yes. And that God would heal that person, whether through means or apart from them. That's up to him. My main point is not that God can't do miracles or never does miracles, but that anyone who uses this verse to say we should be doing miracles all the time does not understand this verse. That's not what this is talking about. This verse is not about greater miracles, but something greater than miracles, the new creation breaking in by the Spirit through the ministry of the people of God. And so greater works, when will they be done? Right now. Who does them? Jesus at work by his Spirit in and through his church. What are they? Jesus bringing new creation through the ministry of the people of God. As we use our gifts to speak and serve by the power of the Spirit, and God uses that to draw people to himself and build them up in Jesus. Fourth, how are they done? We've already mentioned this, but it needs to be said again and emphasized. Why is it that we can do greater works now? Because Jesus went to the Father. In verse 13, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do." Again, I think the whatever here is looking back to the greater works in verse 12. Jesus is essentially saying, here is how your work can be fruitful. You ask in my name and I will do it. And there are two things to notice here. The first is Jesus says he will do it. Notice what that tells us about Jesus. He doesn't say, at least not here, ask and the Father will do it. He says, ask and I will do it. Jesus is no mere man. He is the Son of God, God the Son. He was God from all eternity. He is all-powerful, almighty, all-wise God. He took on human skin and became a man. And now as the God-man, he sits in heaven at the Father's right hand. And it may blow your mind, but Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. He has the power. He has the authority. He can answer your prayer. A second, again, remember what he is talking about. He's talking about the work of God's people in the present age, of sharing the gospel, of serving your neighbor, of representing Christ to those around you. Have you ever felt that all of your efforts have come to nothing? Have you ever felt like, you know, you shared the gospel with your neighbor, your coworker, you know, your roommate in your dorm, but there was no response? And you persistently loved someone over years, but it made no difference. Well, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. God is in charge of the growth. And Jesus here says that includes him. He is God the Son, after all. And we need to accept that the master gardener sometimes grows and sometimes prunes, and we need to trust his wisdom in that. But perhaps, maybe we also need to be praying. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. In my name implies asking on Jesus' behalf. It's like when, as a student, you get sent from one teacher to another and you say, Mr. Jones sent me to get this thing. And Mrs. Smith says, oh, Mr. Jones sent you? Okay, here it is. In my name implies asking on Jesus' behalf. And of course, that also means asking according to his will. If we are asking on Jesus' behalf with his authority, we need to be asking for things that are according to his will as well. We aren't simply asking for ourselves here in John 14. That's not what Jesus is talking about. James says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions, James 4:3. We are asking in Jesus' name for his purposes. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Have you ever thought that maybe, perhaps, taking into account the sovereignty of God and the mystery of his plan and purposes, that maybe our witnessing, our sharing, our serving, our loving has had less effect because we didn't ask? Now that may seem frustrating to you. It's frustrating to me, right? Am I suggesting that if I had only prayed more, then there would have been more fruit in past ministry. That's a dangerous thing to say. In fact, put that way, it borders on the kind of name it, claim it gospel. Well, if you just pray more, then you'll see more fruit. And it seems to even imply that God is under our control. And yet James says in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. And Jesus here says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Again, what are we talking about? The greater things is the ministry of the people of God that brings the new creation. Jesus says, you want that? Ask for it. Again, we need a balance here between trusting in the mysterious sovereignty of God. I can't twist his arm. And trusting in the means that God has given, the word and the sacraments and prayer. God has told us this is how he works. Ask in my name and I will do it. Is it mechanical? No. Is it inevitable? No. Is Jesus free to do as he pleases? Absolutely. Oh, but let's ask, right? Let's ask. Ask for what? Ask that the Father may be glorified in the Son, which is the last question. Why are greater works done? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. I think if we ask Jesus to glorify his Father through the Son, he will do it. He will do it by drawing people to Jesus. He will do it by drawing us closer to Jesus. He will do it by conforming us to the image of Jesus. You know, there are lots of reasons our prayers aren't answered the way we want them to be. Sometimes it's a matter of timing. God's timing is not our timing. Sometimes it's a mystery. God's purposes are not our purposes. God's ways are not our ways. Sometimes it's because we are out of step with reality. The reality is that God is going to be glorified in his Son. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for that. And then let's go and speak and serve in Jesus' name until the earth is filled with his glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would glorify yourself through your Son in our midst, that Jesus would be exalted, that you would be honored, Father, all by the power of your Spirit among us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.